a Bible preacher, and I don't even have my Bible. I left it over here from the last session, right? So we had senior high last session. Now we got junior hires and youth pastors, and we'll see. We learned a new song in the last session. We're not going to do that song, though. It's an I am a C rendition, right? Oh, man, now that I brought it up. I am a C, I am a C-H, I am a C-H-R-I-S-C-I-N, and I have C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T, and I will L-I-V-E-E-T-E-R-N-A-L. But one time with a new addition, you got to practice, right? A-E-I-O-U, they're called what? Vowels, but we just speak the vowels, our consonants. We add the letters O-N-G to the end of the consonants. I am a Kong. I am a Kong Hong. Kong Hong Rong I Song Tong I Nong. Christian. Want to try it? Those that didn't get a chance to practice, junior hires and youth leaders, you'll learn this new song. Ready? I am a Kong. I am a Kong Hong. I am a Kong Hong Rong I Song Tong I Nong. And I have Kong Hong Rong I Song Tong in my Hong Yi A Rong Tong. And I will Long I Vong Yi Yi Tong Rong A Long Long Yong. Good job! Give yourselves a hand. Excellent. That wasn't even in my notes. Woo! I'm a chicken, I'm a chicken again, I'm a chicken every night, second chicken, I ain't niggin, and I am chicken again, rigging, I second chicken in my higgany, nay, rigging, chicken, and I will lick and I vickin' eat, chicken, eat, rigging, digging, and I lick and eat, chicken. Thank you. Thank you. Brother Davison taught me that one. He's very good at those songs. It's an incredible conference. I love it. This is wonderful. The people here that have put this together, I don't know if you realize how much work goes into this. Just the fact that you all have name tags with your names on them. That alone is an incredible amount of work. And man, those giveaways. Yeah. Some of you came back richer than, I mean, you're going home richer than the way you came. That's incredible. I think that's amazing. I really appreciate that. And the singing, man, this morning and last night, that's wonderful. That's the spirit of Heartland Baptist Bible College, spirit of Southwest Baptist Church, and I believe it carries over to YouthCon as well. And it's nothing, not doing anything fancy, nothing special, just singing some, those old boring hymns. Man, I'm tired of those old boring hymns. Man, if you sing them right, they're good. That's good stuff. Very good singing. I really, really appreciated that. If you've appreciated all the workers, Brother Seth, and all the people putting the meals together, why don't you give them a hand? Just so they know, very thankful for that. They deserve every bit of that and more. Setting up security every service, making sure the meals are prepared, lining out all the activities. It's just been incredible. I hope you're grateful for what God has given to you in a conference like this, and your youth pastor for bringing you, and God for answering prayers of getting you here safely and allowing you to have a wonderful time. I just think that's so great. So we're going to be in Proverbs 15. If you can turn there, we'll just read one verse. I really appreciated being at the conference. I feel like the little brother, you know, the little kid that tags along just because his older brother is the cool kid. And it's like, you know, I'm just that little kid that's tacked on to Michael Jones and Park Sutton, you know. I think they wanted my wife to speak, and then Brother Gaddis is like, and I think she's married. Yeah, we'll have her husband, what's his name again? We'll have him speak too, you know. So she did a ladies' session yesterday. I appreciated that, but it's like building up Park Sutton. Oh, yeah, we're all excited about Park Sutton and Michael Jones and then Ryan Wrench. You're like, who? You know. But afterwards, thankfully, it'll be, you know, I'm going home to present Park Sutton as our camp preacher next year. And so I'll present it to my kids and be like, Park Sutton. And they'll go, yeah, our teens that are here will be all excited. Michael Jones did our preaching rally last year when he was pastoring in California. So if I mention his name, it's like, yeah. And so now after this conference, it'll be like Ryan Wrench. And you'll go, wait, who? And it's probably be about the same, but I guess that's all right. I'm teasing. Proverbs 15, stand if you would, please. Proverbs 15 and verse, just one simple verse, 24. I've been preaching through Proverbs in my youth class. I usually just take a couple verses per chapter. And I happen to pass over this verse in preaching through the book, and yet going back over, it's just an incredible verse. And I think it'll summarize everything from the conference this week well. Verse 24 just says, the way of life is above to the wise. It's just better. That he may depart from hell beneath. Let's read that out loud together in our King James Bible, all the voices together. Verse 24, ready? The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Let's pray. Father, I want this to be a help to people, and I want you to be honored and glorified, and I just want it to make sense. I want people to grasp the truth of what's here and stop falling for the lies of the world and to stop turning to that for satisfaction like we learned in the last session. But God, just to be pleasing to you, I pray that we always choose the higher road, the better path. And so help some young people who've been hanging on to some things all summer, really. I pray that today is finally their day of victory. I pray that maybe this verse even becomes a life verse for some, that they always go back to knowing that your way is going to be the best. I want that so badly for every person in here. Please help us through this time now. Understand your word and respond to it. Pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. I wish you could meet my sweet little daughter, Charlotte. She's got this beautiful little curly hair, and she's a funny little kid, but you know, little kids don't listen, crazy kids. Charlotte, don't climb over your crib. You're going to fall down. She's two. Got to talk to her like that. Charlotte, don't climb over. She has a toddler bed now, so she could climb out the other way, but she, at one point, thought it was fun to climb over the tall edge, because the big cousins are doing it, and they're jumping off onto my son's bed, and they're having a good time. And so she climbs up. We're all in the other room. All the adults and all the cousins are over at our house. They're in the back room. We hear them screaming, but, you know, we're busy talking. So all the kids are loud in the back room, and there's yelling going on. The room is noisy, and my son comes running up and grabs my hand. I'm sitting on a chair, and he has this concerned look on his face, and he says, Dad, Charlotte. I'm like, what? What's wrong? So I rush over to the back room, and there's Charlotte. There's the edge of the crib, and there's Charlotte leaned over the edge of the crib, and she couldn't get herself down because she has this awesome little ladybug backpack. You know, and her favorite thing to do is fill that backpack with toys. And then she has butterfly wings on top of that. So she's leaned over this. The weight of the backpack is pinning her torso down so she can't get her legs down. And she's flopping high-centered up on this thing. And she doesn't want to keep flipping over or else she'll bash her face on the toy box and then bounce down to the ground. So she's going, help, 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 mama, mama, help. And I stuck. And she's crying. And so I reach over there and pick her up and hold her, and she was crying a little bit. I'm like, Charlotte, that's why I said, don't climb over the edge. That's not for playing. Okay. No, Charlotte, yes, sir. Okay. No, say yes, sir. Okay. No, say yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then just a few seconds later, I tipped over. Like, yeah. You tipped over, all right. I told you not to. You gotta be careful. That's what happens when you don't listen to Dad. And the same thing with my son. All kids probably do it. We all do it. I got an exercise ball at a yard sale. Big ol', it lost a little bit of the air, so it had a lot of bounce to it. And it's about as tall as my son, you know. Big, huge thing to him. I'm like, careful, son. If you try to do what the older cousins do, they're running and bouncing on it. If you try to do that, you're going to run and bounce, and it's going to, you know, bounce you over the fence, and the neighbor's dog's going to eat you. It's a dachshund, you know, a little wiener dog. It's like, okay, but the older cousins are doing it. I'm like, I know, but you have to be careful. You might bash into a tree or something, you know. I don't want you to get hurt. A few days later, playing on that. He goes trucking up to that ball, jumps right on top of it, and goes boing, and he goes way up in the air and smack right on his back. Oh, knocks his breath out, stands up kind of crying. And I go, I told you so, you dummy. No, I didn't say that. Something you got to be careful. I told you, you can't go jumping off that thing. And he realized, okay, I guess I better chill. You have that kid in your youth group. No matter how many times you tell him, he's still going to do it his way. Oh, those guys. Usually guys. Or the kid that always says, no matter what you tell him, oh, I know. Yeah. No, you can't do it. Oh, I know. No, you didn't. You just did it wrong. Yeah, I know everything. I know. We did a video skit this year with our interns, and there's a video camera pointing up at both of them. And it's famous last words. Just a quick little video snippet between a couple skits we did. Famous last words. One intern looks at the other one and goes, I wouldn't touch that if I were you. The other intern looks back at him. Well, you're not me. And he goes down into that hole. It's like, oh, yeah, you're smarter, huh? That's famous last words right there. And I do it, too. I just got into frisbee golf. Anybody into frisbee golf? Oh, yeah. I like that stuff. It's kind of like regular golf, but you're using a frisbee, and you have par and courses and all that. We got this crazy course with all these trees everywhere, no flat fairways, nothing straight about it. Just all these crazy trees and brush and rattlesnakes. You know, Southern California, we got rattlesnakes. So we got to watch out for those. And I came up to a clearing, big giant tree in front of me, and the cage is just on the other side of this tree. My brother goes out with me and a couple other guys from our church, and there's a nice fairway clearing off to my right. I go, I'm going to tomahawk this thing straight through that tree. And I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to chuck it as hard as I can. It's going to turn into a saw blade, a chainsaw, and hack its way straight through this tree and drop right into the pin. I mean, right into the hole. I guarantee it. My brother's like, no, dude, you need to get over into this clearing, and then you have a clear shot to the hole. I'm like, nah. Do I listen to him? Nah. I go, here goes. Just watch this. And I chuck that thing as hard as I can. And it slices right through branches until it, you know, hits an actual branch. It sliced through a couple of leaves. Hit a branch about that big around, smacked it, bounced right back at me, and I almost had to dodge to miss the thing, and it landed right beside me. Oh, man. Okay, you were right. And I had to pick it up and toss it over to the fairway. And all I did was added a couple strokes to my score. I was just trying to keep my lead. I thought I knew better. It's like, oh, yeah, Brother Ryan, you're that guy. The one that wants to try it. I want to try it my own way. I just want to do my own thing. My way is better. My way is better. And there's people in my life that, whether it's a spiritual decision or even just a personal decision like that, that say, no, your way's not better. And then when you say, when they say, you should listen to me, and I say, nah. Or Abe looks up and Dad basically and just says, you need to not bounce off that ball. Does he listen? Nah. And Charlotte, or those of us that seem to know better, when there's people in our lives speaking to us, then what's your response to them? Do you just say, nah, I can do this. I got this. And there's an analogy all the way through Proverbs that talks about these paths of life that we're walking. And the way, it often calls it. It's this pathway that we're walking. It's this journey that we're on. And it's kind of cute and funny when we're talking about little kids bouncing off a ball and, you know, smacking into a tree. That's funny. Or getting eaten by a dachshund, you know. But when a young person ignores the warning of a youth pastor, of a pastor that loves them and cares for them, and there's a teen that says, purity? Nah. Oh, texting, Brother Sutton, you're crazy. You didn't even have texting when you were a teen. I can handle it. Nah. And a teen ignores the warnings over and over. It's not cute and funny then. It's like life damaging. Like it hurts. There's pain to it. And all through Proverbs, this analogy that's played out over and over is kind of like a dad writing an entire book to his teenage son, saying, look, son, I've lived my life and I've got a lot of wisdom to pass on to you. And verse after verse after verse is just a dad talking to a teenage son, trying to help him, trying to keep him from avoid the pain. And it's like just dad wisdom. That's the bulk of the book of Proverbs. That's why I love Proverbs so much. It's just a dad trying to help a teen. We've gone through it with our teens too. And so it's like a dad going, you know, son, it's kind of like this. There's a couple paths you could walk. And you can go down this path, and this is God's path for your life, and this is the best path, and this is where you'll make wise choices. And this is the path I want for you. This is such a wonderful, godly path, and it will help you. That's the wise path. But it's like this dad is saying, you know what, son? Sometimes you'll come to a fork in the road. It's like, I know dad told me, and I know there's warnings telling me this is the wise path, but there's another path that goes kind of like this way, like off the other way. And it just looks so like fun. And it just looks great. And the wise path is kind of hard sometimes. And there's this big sign that's over top of this path. It's like some post with a handwritten sign above it. And it says like wise path. And there's a sign that says, oh, look, I can choose this and I'll still be wise. Or there's a sign over the top of that just says funner. It's a funner path. It's the better path. It's the more exciting path. And there's paths that shoot off of the wise path. And it's like this dad is saying, you know what, son, don't fall. Don't fall for that. Those paths are frauds. That's just, you know who wrote those signs, handwritten letters, wise path, fun path, better path? You know who wrote that sign above there? The devil did. This is the wise path. Stick to the wise path. This is much better. And yet we get so enamored by these offshoot paths, these other paths that are so far less than what God wants for us. And verse 24, it's like this dad is saying, look, the way of life, the path of life, the wise path, is above to the wise. Son, if you want to stay wise and if you want to be smart, it just makes sense that you stay on the path that's above, that is superior. This path is better, son. I guarantee it. I've tried some of those other paths. Man, they hurt. They bring a lot of pain, and I don't want that for you, son. You follow God's path, and here's, look at the end of verse 24. The way of life is above to the wise, it's better, it's superior, that he may depart from hell beneath. Son, these offshoot paths, they're so far beneath what God wants for you. And you know what I'm trying to get you to do is when you're associating with this, it's like you're associating with like hell. This is a serious thing. It's not just a random mistake that I made. But here's a dad saying, look, I'm trying to make you understand this is the way of death. This associates you with Satan. This is not God's best for you. Absolutely not. This brings you so far below what God wants for you. This is so much worse for you than the path that wise people choose. The path that is above. The path that's better. This path out here is so much better than anything we can come up with. If you just follow God's path, you know what? It'll help you. It'll help you depart from hell beneath, from the path of death, from the path that associates you with just stupidity. And so we have this path up here, and we have a path down here. I need some volunteers. How about some seventh graders first? We'll start with some seventh graders. Come on up. Just come up. I need about 10. Come on up. Just come on down. Come on down. 10 or 12. All right, that's enough. That's enough. Everybody that's moving, come on down. Everybody that's moving. There we go. There we go. I need like a gauntlet. Sorry, guys only. Guys only. We don't do this. Yeah, guys only. Come on. I need a gauntlet. So two lines here. Two lines here. Right here. All the way up to the platform. There you go. Side by side. Go roughly tallest to shortest. So taller guys down there. Shorter guys up here. Here we go. I like it. Here we go. All right. Nice straight lines right here. Oh, wow. We got a lot. Okay. No. This way, facing. I need to be able to walk down between two people. All right, you guys can come down here. Come down here. Come on down here. Yeah, two paths. Make way right here. Make way. All right, this is good. Now I need some bigger guys. I need some six-footers and some, oh, here's a big one, and some football players. Stay down here. And some wrestlers. That's enough. If you're moving, come on. Oh, yeah, there we go. Some 200-plus pounders. Woo! All right, bigger guys down this way. Wow, that's a lot. That's enough. All right, the rest of you? You can go sit down. Sorry. That's enough, yeah. But you look really strong. All right, I need a guy that can take some pain. Doesn't have to be. Don't give him any pain yet. We'll get there. Come on all the way up. Whatever. So you're my son. All right? What's your name?
Chris.
All right, Chris. We're over here. Come on over here, Chris. Dad is trying to tell you, look, there's a path of wisdom. This is the best path. And if you go off of this path, Chris... if you go off of this path, then it just causes a little pain. So can you guys like cause them a little pain? All right. So he is walking down the path and he says, I know the path of wisdom is to make right choices and to follow God and all that kind of stuff. And yet some of you choose to veer off that. And I say, I know cheating is wrong. And so give him a little pain. Just a little pain. Yeah, there's a little pain. All right. Whoa. Yeah. Okay. All right. They're just seventh graders. It doesn't hurt. All right. That's enough. So Chris, he can take pain. He can take it. Come on up. Chris is smart. He's so smart. He goes, ow.
Dads were actually punching.
Man. Yeah, they were actually punching. Those jerks. Take it easy, guys. All right.
Come on, man.
You're the small guys. We haven't even got to the football players yet. Cheating. All right, cheating. And you got, maybe if you're a smart one like Chris, you got down a little ways and go, whoa, ow, this hurts. This path brings some pain. And you stop. That's pretty smart. And you got caught for cheating one time, and it's like, oh, man, I got in so much trouble from my parents. That hurts. I'm not going down that path anymore. I'm not doing that again. That was stupid. That brought me a whole bunch of pain. You had a girlfriend. Lasted about a month. Then you got dumped on Valentine's Day. Where's Brother Gaddis? Didn't that happen to Brother Gaddis? I think it happened to Brother Gaddis. There he is. Yep, he gave me the thumbs up. That happens. It happens. Happens to the best of us. And you say, oh, I know this preaching this week has been warning us just a little pain. More like just a little bit of pain. All right. Oh, yeah, there we go. Oh, yeah, a little bit. All right, and you go, ow, this hurts. I'm just gonna chill out a little bit. I don't want to go all the way down that path. I've just got a little taste of sin. I've just got a little taste of going against what the preacher says, and it hurts. Man, it hurts. He's crying about the little bit of pain that he's received. He hasn't even got to the big guys yet. He could take it. Maybe you say, look, I've experienced a little bit about it, and man, it kind of hurts, and it makes me uncomfortable, and I don't like it. And so maybe I'll just follow the Bible instead. And maybe I'll just try to guard my purity, and maybe I won't go down that path as soon as I wanted to, because when I mess up, oh, it hurts. There's got to be a better way than this. There's got to be a better way. And dads always tell me, youth pastors always tell me that God's way is better. So, oh boy, this does bring a little pain. I'm gonna try to avoid that path that's beneath me. I'm going to try to depart from hell below. I'm going to depart away from that. I want to keep myself pure. I want to keep myself for my wife someday. I want to keep myself on this higher road. Some of you got ratted out for cussing. First time it happened to you. Maybe your little brother, your little sister. Just a little bit. No punching. Can you take it still? He can take it. And he goes down and he got caught and he's like, whoa, I'm not going down there anymore. This hurts too bad. I'm not going down that path. And you got ratted out and you got in a ton of trouble. And you're like, you know what? It's just kind of stupid to always be worrying about who's listening to me and who's going to tell on me and if my parents are going to hear me. And man, the one time I got in trouble, it hurt. And I don't like the way it makes me feel. And I don't like the stress I'm under. But always being concerned if people are listening or who's around me. And so I'm just not even going to go down that path anymore. I just want to guard my tongue the right way. I just want to do what's right. It helps me when I don't go down that path. And when you can catch it early, you're pretty smart. If you can understand that these small little pains that you go through, that your parents are protecting you from some of the bigger pains down the road. When God is trying to put people in your life saying, stop, this way hurts. This way is not the best way. There is a better way. Thank you, Chris. You can have a seat. The rest of you guys stay here. Sure. Take it easy, all right? Can another guy take a little more pain? He was the first one up. Sorry, bro. All right. What's your name?
Joel.
You sure you can take it?
Yeah.
He's sure.
Ask him.
He can take it. Oh, they're ready for you. They are ready for you. This week we've been talking about texting. Just straight up texting. Don't punch, all right? No kicking. Just nice and easy. I know Brother Sutton was talking about texting. And I know, you know, No. This is the lightweights, all right? All right, pause for a second. I've gotten this far and I'm okay. It doesn't hurt that bad. I mean, I'm doing okay and I can still text and I can still control it. I know, Brother Sutton. I told you he didn't even have texting when he was a teen. He doesn't know how to control himself like I do. Oh, we got pictured messaging now. Say, this is pretty fun. I'm kind of liking this. And we're going a little bit further. And it's like, oh, man, I know this hurts. No punching. Take it easy. Nice and easy. And it's like, oh, wait. Time out. And the guys are getting bigger. And the pain is getting more real. What'd you say your name was?
Joel.
You're tough, man. All right. And it's like, oh, man, I had that breakup through text. And that hurt.
Oh, Joel.
And man, it's just been like, oh, but you know what? I'm this far in and I can manage. I'll be okay. And over, you keep making excuses and you keep on pushing on. And you say, I know I heard it about it at that crazy youth conference, but I can keep on pushing on and it's not going to hurt. I'm going to be okay until, wait a minute.
Until it takes it down.
We can get to marriage. The part that you're not even thinking about yet. And we can get further down the line. Maybe you have a few kids down the line. And it's like, look how much pain you can cause. Look how much hurt you can cause by the end of the line. And if you're still pushing on in your sin, not taking care of it when it's way up the path, then it's like, here's what happens. Whoa, get me out of here. All right, here's what happens. Go. No, get him. All right. All right, that's enough. He took it like a man. Good job, Joel. Have a seat. All you guys, have a seat. We're talking about what the Bible many times just calls destruction. We're talking about ruined lives down there. We're talking about your kids and your wife that are broken and shattered. I'm going through all this garbage in my own youth group right now. People that are struggling with suicide. I mean, suicidal thoughts. I'm talking about friends who've killed themselves. And kids struggling with, with, wondering, is God real? And how far does sin take you down that road? Talking about girls whose parents are fighting all the time and she hates being home because, man, there's just so much strife at home. Because their parents aren't living the godly path. They're so far from God, and now there's people struggling with divorce with teenagers in the home. Some of you are going through that right now. And you see the pain, you see the destruction that sin brings. And yet some of you are on the first step going down the same path. It doesn't start with divorce and broken homes. It starts with, like, I don't care about the preaching, about texting. It starts with just not being careful about your thoughts and your mind, and it just starts small. It's just a seventh grader slap. I can handle that. I can handle that. I'm good. I can handle myself, but you can't. You can't. All that does is take you so far down a road that you don't want to go. Toying with alcohol, sneaking it in, it may not be a huge struggle, but for some in here it probably is. All the regular culprits. How about just some real life stuff that a dad talks to his son about in Proverbs? You know what, son? If you start out as a lazy bum and you're not willing to work, I'm going to beat that out of you, son. I got to make sure that you learn how to work and be strong and be disciplined. I can't stand. It's like a dad who's saying, I just can't stand these lazy kids. These lazy kids who sleep in bed and they roll over in their bed like a door turns on its hinges. And they're just so lazy, there's no drive to them to do anything. Or they make up stupid excuses. I got to keep sleeping. There's a lion in the streets. That's just Bible. People that make excuses for, no, I can't work. It's too hard. And people that aren't driven, I'd rather just play. I don't want to put any hard effort into anything that I do. And this dad says, son, go to the ant. Go check him out. Yeah. He's sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Stick to the wise path. This is the best path. And there's a path that says, look, this way is easier. If you're just lazy, there's a path that says this way is a lot easier. Just come down my path. And this dad is saying, no. The way of life is above to the wise. If you're smart, you'll stay on the far better path way up here. If you're wise, you won't go down this lazy path, this path of sin. You have no idea where that might take you. I think laziness is like a plague. I think laziness among young men, it can start with physical work, getting a job and all that kind of stuff, but it translates into spiritual effort. I'm so weary with young men who don't even care about the Word of God. And young ladies who aren't willing to put the effort into just trying to be pleasing to God and read the Word of God. Brother Park said it just takes so much effort to learn to shoot a basketball, and we'll put effort and we'll not be lazy in physical things like that if you're driven hard enough to do it. And yet so many Christians in good churches, in our churches, like you, so many teens read their Bible 10 times a year. 20 times a year for 30 days straight, 1 month straight out of a year until next year's camp. And you're all excited about it, but there's no personal drive. And it's like this dad is saying, no, you need to understand that the way of life is above. This is way better when you're actually disciplined, when you're actually driven to do something for God. So please, him, Brother Sutton said, look, the prodigal, his life is miserable. The hypocrite, his life is miserable. All they do is just get beat up. Anyone away from God is miserable. Say, I like it, preacher. I like my sin. I get that. But don't come to church pretending like you're Joe Christian and you're good with God because you go to a Christian school and you have a good family. Don't put on a show. I'm talking about just being real. And don't for a second think that this way is better than that way. You're kidding yourself. Don't for a second try to convince yourself or anybody else around you that your way is better than God's. It'll never be better than God's. Pleasure, maybe for a season. the way of life is above. It's so much better. Maybe today is just your wake-up call. Say, I'm okay. I'm okay. You know what? Texting, if we're going back to that one, it's just planting the seed for something that'll grow bigger and bigger later until it's rooted out, until it's gotten out. I'm just trying to save families. I'm trying to save dads. I'm trying to save moms from broken marriages. I'm trying to get you to understand that the, like, God's path is so much better. Talking about parents who are talking about divorce after 18 years. Because year after year, they're sealing out God, and they're sealing out God, and they're ignoring the pain, and they're just taking it, and they're not choosing to turn back to God. They're just going further and further and further into it until they realize, where in the world am I? My life is wrecked. My life is destroyed. How have I gotten here? I'm just trying to save you as a 40-year-old. As a 35-year-old, as a 50-year-old, I'm trying to, just trying to help you in that way. Just try getting through here without some pain. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. You got to be kidding if you think I can make it. Maybe if I just run fast enough and I just try to get past the gun, I can make it. Nobody can make it without some pain. No, listen, nobody can make it off of God's path without some pain. Nobody's going to step off God's perfect plan. Nobody's going to make unwise decisions and not experience pain. Nobody, nobody, nobody is going to step off God's path and not experience pain. Yeah, I will. No, you won't. I know my way. My way's better. I've got this. Do I need to listen to God? Nah. I'm good. I'm just telling you, your way will experience pain. Here's a smart dad saying, look, son, stay on this path. It's above. It's superior. It's way better. And it'll help you depart from hell beneath, from the way of death, from the way of destruction. I'm just trying to save you, son, trying to save you this pain. Give me the teen who says, I got down one step and it hurts. And I'm turning back to God. I don't like the pain that it's causing me. Give me the teen who's sensitive to God's Holy Spirit prompting and convicting them and who's turned from their sins and comes down and gets things right. Amen. Even if it's just one little bad thought, he gets it right. Doesn't wait till he's so far down the path that he feels, oh man, I'm stuck here forever. Give me the teen who's sensitive to God. And yet if you're in here that... Let me encourage you. I think when you hear preaching like this, you think, Brother Ryan, I am already here. Yeah. Brother Ryan, there's no turning back for me now. I mean, I'm so far gone that I'm probably all the way gone. Let me encourage you and say, no, you're not. No matter how far from God you are, no matter how destroyed your life is, I realize that everybody that steps off God's plan will experience some pain, but everybody that steps off God's plan, listen, I've used this thought to encourage our young people, preached it 2 years ago, and it just came up even just last week in a testimony time. This thought that no matter how far away from God you are, listen, you're just one decision away from being back in with God. One decision away. One decision away to be so far from God, you say, oh, my life is wrecked. I'm so far from God. It takes too far to get back. I'll never be. You're only one decision away. You know what that decision is? Just turn. Just turn back to God. Many times we call it surrender. I realize that after wrecking your life and destroying some things about your life and your mind and your thoughts, and you say, I've given up all these things. I realize that you might be a few steps behind on this path. And there might be a little bit of catch-up time to relearn the disciplines of reading your Bible and praying. And realize you're not going to be a perfect Christian right after making a decision at a youth conference. And I realize it's still going to be a struggle and you'll feel like, oh, I kind of backslid off this path. The point is not how far you are in this path. The point is get on this path. And you're only one decision away from being on the wise path. I don't see a timetable on this proverb. I don't see a timetable on here that the way of life is above to the wise. And you can only get on that path if you work and 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 work. And then finally work your way up to the steps, and then God will call you a wise person. No. I think it's just like, are you trying to make wise decisions? Are you trying to be sensitive to God? Do you have a heart, a thirst for God where you want to be on this path? That's pretty much what it takes. You're just one decision away from being right with God. Brother Sutton said it this way, draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh unto you. You just need to draw nigh to God. You say, I do want to get right with God. I realize this way is better and it's higher and the low road stinks and I just can't do it. Listen, you're only one decision away, and that's turn. Surrender your life. Surrender your will. Some of you are hanging on thinking you'll get through the pain and thinking you can take it. But He's saying, look, it's just going to get worse for you. Depart from hell beneath. Turn back to God. Surrender your will to His. Some of you have been holding that way too long. This whole conference, you've been holding on, and every single time the invitation is given, you're still holding strong. You say, I'm not giving it. I'm not giving it up. My way is too fun. My way is better. My way feels good. Stop being a fool. Just surrender to God. His way is better. His way is above. His way is so much sweeter than anything you can dream up. Just talking about families, like my parents tried to raise us in biblical values. I'm thankful for the family I have. There's no destruction. There's no life pain. Compare our family and the love we have with one another. We're church members in our family. I mean, in our church family, that they hate their family. They fight all the time. There's a gang killing in one of our families. And at the funeral, the uncle, kind of the family leader, puts out a hit on the gang, on another nephew of the other gang leader. Says, they take one of ours, we'll take one of theirs. At the funeral. I'm just trying to keep you from that kind of a mess. Yes. That kind of a horrible situation. Following godly principles will always work out right for you. If I've tried to preach anything to my teens, it's just that we need to surrender to God. You say, well, Brother Ryan, I'm there, man. I don't make perfect choices, but I'm trying to be on this path. And you're preaching maybe to all those bad people down there, and I don't want that path. Well, the encouragement for you is just stay on this path. Maybe your decision is just to strengthen your resolve to stay on this path. A prudent man foresees the evil and hideth himself, the Bible says. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You can make wise choices in so many ways. Whoso findeth me findeth life, wisdom says, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Listen, if you're wondering if this path would be more fun, today's the warning. It's not. So stick to the right path. Keep in your Bible reading. Keep us being strong in it. It's not paying off. I promise you it will. It'll be a lot easier than the hell path below. Say, it's hard. It's hard. I can't do it. I know it's hard. Get with your youth pastor. Get close to your youth pastor. Be close to him and spend time. Encourage each other. Get good friends. Stories of a couple people and I'm done. One's a grandma that met my mom in a grocery store. Saw her messing with my kids. Said, oh, your kids are beautiful. I just had a granddaughter myself. She said, my daughter, though, is, I don't know, she kind of messed up and got with this boy, and he's not really into her or the family or anything like that. So she's kind of stuck raising the kid on her own, and he's out of the picture. So she's a single mom, and she said these words, the mom instinct hasn't really kicked in with my daughter yet. And so when the baby's crying in the other room, my daughter's just sitting on the couch on her phone all the time or on the computer all the time. Just lets the baby cry in the background. So this new grandma says, I'm kind of the one that's ended up raising this kid. And she said, it's not quite what I was hoping for, being a grandma. And yet there's another girl, a 17-year-old girl, goes out with her boyfriend on prom night. First and only time, she messes up. Come to find out, a little teenage senior in high school girl, pregnant. She and her boyfriend talk it over, trying to hide it from everybody. They decided we'll abort the baby. We'll just have an abortion, we'll hide it, we won't tell anybody. This little teenage girl had a note stashed from the boyfriend in the top drawer, in her sock drawer, whatever, in her dresser. Her Christian mom, Christian family, Christian mom was cleaning up in her room, opened the drawer, found the note that was talking about her being pregnant, talking about a baby, confronted her about it, just a couple weeks before they were about to abort the baby. And long story short, turns out that she made the selfless decision, thinking, you know, as a teenage mom, I wouldn't be able to raise this kid. They weren't planning on being married. The dad wasn't the right man for her, and it just wouldn't have been a great situation for the baby. So she made the, in her case, she made the selfless decision to put the baby up for adoption. And it turns out that it was, this daughter was, they named her Amber, one day old, right after one day. She was put up for adoption. The social worker worked with a family. That family happened to be a pastor of a Baptist church. Raised this little Amber all the way up until she was 18. It was a closed adoption on her 18th birthday, the very next day. Through a series of events, the biological mom happened to have gotten married to a pastor, had four more girls on her own, raising a family right across town from where Amber was all this time. Never knew she was even there until the adoption was opened on her 18th birthday. And the very next day, they got to meet Amber. And the social worker that's in the middle of this this whole situation sees that and said, in my 20 or 25 years of working with adoptive families, I've never seen a story like this. I've never seen a situation work out like this where God is absolutely all over it. The wonderful, wonderful picture. When God's involved, it's like His path is just better. It's like His way is better. It's so far above what we can plan. And boy, am I glad that Amber wasn't aborted. Because on June 21st, 2008, that sweet little Amber, whose name was actually Jamie, became my wife. And she walked down the aisle and she became my wife. I think, boy, from abortion to adoption, doing it my way would cause all kinds of pain. And yet God's way, we can just see His hand evident all along the process. And when you look back over the path, it's like, oh yeah. I see God's way as way better. It's so far superior than anything I can scheme or scam or plan. It's so much better. So I want to avoid the pain that this brings, and I choose like that way. I choose the higher road. I choose the higher path. His way is above. Oh, I've wandered far away from God. I've gone so far away from God. But Lord, I'm coming home. God, I want to turn my life to You. Too long the paths of sin I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Make this decision to come home, to return to You. God, I want You to be pleased in my life. God, I choose the higher path. This way is so far better than anything the devil has to offer.